To open our Bibles to the book of Daniel, please. You're able to put some photos up there for me? I should have given him this ahead of time. I brought some photos of the concert that we had before Christmas. There we go. Okay, this was the Christmas concert we had in December 12th. And I just wanted to sort of put that up there to thank some people that came along to help us out. It was a success. My idea was to raise money for the children in El Salvador, because down there, children never receive a Christmas present. You can imagine getting up on Christmas morning and running to the Christmas tree and looking underneath there, and there's nothing there. Well, they never receive anything. So it was a privilege for us to raise some money, and we sent money down. We sent over $500 down for the children in El Salvador. And also, I said to the sister down there, I said, you can look and see what they need. So you can turn to the next one. Yeah, there was quite a few people come out. We were very, very surprised. We didn't know whether we were going to raise $5 or have enough to pay for the rental that was the Cornwall Curling Club. So that's where some people would be going on March 5th, right, Don? For the curling, but downstairs, I hope. And okay, next. So what you decided is the kids need to choose. So there was after $500 is translated into, as over $600 was translated into American money, and then it turns around $400. So there was money bought. Okay, next, for shoes. And here's some of the recipients. This is our sister Gladys on the left-hand side, and two young girls are getting some shoes. Note the girl on the right-hand side. This girl was coming out to Sunday school. She's 15 years old, and she has a baby. That's very, very common down there. Okay, when my wife was in the hospital having Christy Amanda, there was a girl in the hospital who was 13 years old, giving birth to a baby. So it's important that the kids hear the Word of God. Next, you can just sort of flip through these. These are a bunch of the kids that are coming out to the Sunday school. There's some of the moms that are there helping out too. So like I say, these kids are pretty happy that they're getting some new shoes. Okay, and that's one Leah at the very back with the blue shirt on. He's one of the leading brothers there. And this lady here, she was coming out as a kid. Now she has two kids of her own, and she doesn't have a husband either. And here's a girl that got her doll. I guess she must have had some shoes. Yeah, okay, next. Yeah, so here's that 15-year-old girl with her little baby. She's a baby herself. So now also what we did, I wanted to have money for them to have a Christmas dinner. So you can see this is a typical Christmas dinner. They have about a couple tortillas, they have a bunch of rice, and some chicken cooked up in a tomato sauce, tomatoes and onions and stuff like that. Okay, next. Okay, this is a brother from the assembly in San Salvador. The brother in the chapel in there, they bought the meat, as you can see, and they brought it out, and they're having a fellowship dinner with the Christians in San Sebastian. Next. So there's some pictures of some of the brothers and sisters that are there. Okay, that's good. So we're back at the beginning. Okay, so I wanted to thank all the people that were involved. There was Gloria was there. There was Franklin was there. There was Keith and Brendan was there. There was the fiddle player was there, Jesse. Okay, and I think I'm missing somebody else. Anyway, my mind is fried for that. That's 2 months ago. Man, that's a long time ago. So anyway, I appreciate all the people that participated, because it was a big success financially, and we enjoyed the time together. Okay, Daniel chapter 1, and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a purpose, the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He purposed in his heart. On Wednesday night, I decided to do something a little bit different. We were dealing with the death of Sarah in the beginning, and I gave a little bit of a eulogy on the life of Sarah, and I thought that she deserved it, and I went over some of the things that happened in her life and so on, and that's basically what our message is this morning. I want to give a character sketch or maybe a bit of a eulogy on the life of Daniel. But I was just thinking as I was preparing the message, every year on CNN you'll see people we have lost in the last year. And I just sort of noted a few of them just for interest, just to think about this idea. Because one of the main lessons I said about Sarah is no matter how old we live, no matter how strong we are, no matter how many vitamins and minerals and what kind of good food we eat and so on, we're all going to die, every one of us. So it's very, very important that we get that concept in our minds and get a grasp with our mortality so that we might be prepared to meet the living God. What does God say in His Word? Prepare to meet thy God. That's Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Prepare to meet your God in modern day English. Isaiah chapter 59 says, but your sins and your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. So that's an interesting concept. People have this idea that God is the God that's out there. He's the God of, he's the God of creation, but he has nothing to do with me. I really don't even believe him. I don't even care if he exists. No, your sins and your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. So here are some of the people that passed on in the sports realm. There was Rowdy Roddy Piper, the famous WWE wrestler. There was Yogi Berra of baseball fame. There was Harlem Globetrotter, Meadowlark Lemon. Somebody's the baseball fan or basketball fans are getting angry with me for mispronouncing his name. And then musicians, B.B. King, Percy Sledge. He wrote the song When a Man Loves a Woman. Benny King, Stand By Me. And then there was Andre Crouch, the Christian singer and songwriter. And then there was Natalie Cole. So a lot of black famous black artists died in the last year. And then for the Nashville people, it was Little Jimmy Dickens. He died. Okay. And then when we look at the more contemporary music, there was Glenn Frey of the Eagles. He just died a couple weeks ago, and another guy, David Bowie, they died, and they were in their 60s. And then for the old guys like me that used to like the Dukes of Hazzard, Roscoe, the old sheriff, he died. And Wayne Rogers, he was called Trapper and Mash, he died. And then you say, well, all those guys were old guys. Well, you know, Whitney Houston's daughter died. How old was she? 21 years old. You know, Bobby Brown's daughter. So mortality comes at many different ages. And the problem is, I've named a few people here, and these were the most famous people that I mentioned. But you know what? Last year, more than 56 million people died. I put on my Facebook page the mortality clock a couple of days ago. And when you open that page, it's like a clock, and it's spinning. The seconds are going 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the seconds are going like this here, because 56 million people die. Every second, people are dying. You think about, if you just imagine around the world, in India, in Egypt, in Iran, in Afghanistan, in China, and Japan, and Australia, there's people that are closing their eyes in death. Right here in PEI, last week, there was a young boy, 14 years old, driving a snowmobile, drove across the road in a car, gone into eternity. So here is this young man that we're reading about this morning, the man Daniel. They say that Daniel was around 17 years of age, between 15 and 17 years of age when he was taken back. He was put in charge of the prince of the eunuchs. So what does that tell me? That Daniel was probably eunuchized. I don't know. It doesn't sound very prosperous life ahead of him. But this is what happened to him. He was put in charge of the. But where is he at? He was taken captive to a place called Babylon. So the background of the book of Daniel we find in the book of 2 Kings. God sent his prophets to Israel and to Judah. Prophet after prophet, they would go and they would tell them, repent, turn back, turn away from worshiping idols, turn to the true and the living God. But they carried on in their same path. And finally, Israel was carried to the northern nation of Israel was carried to Assyria, and then the southern nation of Judah was carried off to Babylon, and this was one of the young men that was carried along. Babylon, we find the roots of that in Genesis chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel, which we just studied a couple of months ago. It's interesting to note also that the last of the kings was blind. They blinded him. The last of the kings, he was blinded and binded. The last of the judges, Samson, he was blinded and binded. And then the last of the churches in Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea, they were called blind. So it's interesting, their tragedy, their life ends in tragedy, being blind to know what's going on. They can't see spiritual reality, and they're bound by their sins. Satan has them captive. It's like he's wrapping this big thread around us, day after day, more sins and more sins, and people are enslaved to their sins, and they don't know what the danger is that lies ahead of them. If we could pull back the curtain, we were showing some pictures of El Salvador. If I could pull back this here curtain, I could lift this curtain up, and all of a sudden you could see the flames just rising to the ceiling, and people that are falling into that one every second, that are falling into those flames of fire. Wouldn't that wake you up? Wouldn't that make you say, I want to get right with God? So here was a young man by the name of Daniel. This book deals with his personal devotion to God. He's captive. He's put in the charge, and they want to fatten him up. They want to give him the best food. They want to give him the best wine. They want to wine him and dine him, as we would say. And what does it say in chapter 1 and verse 8? Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Actually, if you read chapter 1 of Daniel, you'll find the first two verses deal with the purpose of God. The purpose of God was that Judah would be carried captive up to Babylon. Why would he want to do that? Because they just wouldn't listen. And God has to get people's attention. And then in verses 3 and 4, we see the purpose of Nebuchadnezzar. He wants to take these young men and groom them up, and because these are skilled men, they're smart young men, and he wants them as his counselors in the future. And then in verse 5 and 6, verse 7, we see the purpose of the prince of eunuchs. He wants to give them new names to show them that they didn't belong to Israel. They now belong to the kingdom of Babylon. But then when we come to Daniel, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. 17 years old. Any 17-year-olds here? Any 18-year-olds? Any 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds? Have you purposed in your heart that you will not defile yourself? Have you sanctified this body? Have you set it apart and said, I will live only for you? We sang on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Have you ever sang that song lately? If you were there on Wednesday night, you would have sung it. But some people sing it through the teeth. They don't sing it from the heart. So it comes to a test, and Daniel is given this test. They want to fatten him up, and he says, well, I don't want to be eating pork. I don't want to be eating all these filthy animals that people eat. He said, I only want to eat that which God would bless. And he says, I don't want to drink the king's wine. Why? Because he did not want to be controlled by another spirit. That's what wine does. Wine will take your judgment and will throw it out the window. And you, when you start drinking, you will do things that you would normally not do. So that's why these passages have been put in the Word of God. They're put here for us, so that we might be warned, that we might be advised of the dangers of alcohol, the dangers of flirting with the devil. So Daniel says, listen, I want to have a 10-day test. We're going to eat the food that we want, that we believe is clean, and you look at us after 10 days. And what happens? It says they were stronger and healthier. But what does it say? God gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all of his visions and dreams. So Daniel had a testimony of pleasing God, and by having this testimony of pleasing God, his three young friends who were maybe weaker believers, yes, they believed in the true God of Israel, but they were weaker in the faith. And when they watched Daniel take a stand for God, they gathered courage in their own hearts. And then when Nebuchadnezzar, he raised a statue to himself, and he said, and he mandated that everybody would have to come through, and they would have to kneel down and bow down before that statue. And Daniel's three friends says, we will not bow down. And they refused to obey Nebuchadnezzar. And they were taken and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, our God is able to deliver us. And God was able to deliver them. In chapter 5, I want to look over there at something. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 17. Daniel purposed, Daniel preached. The background of this chapter is that King Belshazzar made a feast. He invited all his friends. He drank wine from the holy vessels that had been in the temple in Jerusalem. He praised the gods of silver and bronze and iron and wood and stone. And then a hand appeared on the wall. And it says the king was so terrified that his knees knocked together. So what does he do? He invites all his counselors, his wise men, his astrologers in with him. And when they could not answer, his wife came in, the queen came in, and she said, there's a man in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And this man knows what's going on. So finally, Belshazzar calls him in and says, what can you tell me? So he said, listen, I'm going to give you a reward. I'm going to give you riches. And what does Daniel say to him? You can keep your riches. I don't want your reward. But I will tell you what God has to say. So here were the words of the vision. It was still written on the wall. Meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin. So what did that mean? It meant that God has numbered your days and your kingdom, and it is finished. Not only does he say it once, but he says it twice. Meeny, meeny. Your kingdom is numbered. Your days are numbered. And it's finished. It's over. And then the next word was, you are weighed in the balances. You're weighed in the scales, and you're found wanting, lacking. And the last one, the kingdom is divided, is taken away from you, and is divided into the Medes and Persians. An interesting end to this story. That even though the message that Daniel preached was against Belshazzar, he wasn't merciful. He didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. He said, judgment is coming. Your end is, your days are over. Belshazzar still gave him the reward. Why is that? Maybe he felt he could turn things around. Maybe he realized this is the word of God. This is a message from God. And I have time to repent and put my life in order. But remember that story in Luke's gospel? Thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. What does it say? That night Belshazzar died. And King Darius rose up And King Darius, realizing what an excellent young man he was, he put him in control in chapter 6. Flip over the page, chapter 6 and verse 10. Darius takes 120 of these young men that have been groomed for leadership, and he puts them in control. But the other 120 princes, they were envious of Daniel. So in their envy, they wanted to find a way that they could dispose of Daniel, so they would have the kingdom and the control to themselves. So they flattered the king and they said, listen, we want to put a decree. We want you to put a law into force so that if anybody asks anything of anyone, if they come and they ask one of the priests or one of the rulers or one of the magicians or astrologers of anything, that they would be put to death. They would be thrown into a den of lions. And the king said, well, that's pretty good. You know, he said, I'm the one that's in control here. I like to have the authority, the power. I like to have people groveling in front of me asking for things. So it was flattering to him. Well, it wasn't long after they kept an eye on Daniel. And Daniel is praying. What does it say? Daniel kneeled. It says Daniel prayed. Daniel gave thanks. He kneeled. That was the posture of humility. He was bowing his knees to the King of Heaven. And then he prayed. He was asking God for things. He was asking God for protection. He saw what had happened to his three friends being thrown into that fiery furnace. He realized that his life was very frail, that he was in the hands of the enemy. And then he gave thanks to God, from whom all blessings flow. He prayed three times daily without regard to men, what they thought of him. He prayed publicly so that everybody could see. And it wasn't long after that the 120 men, they ran back to the king, to Darius, and they told him, listen, we found Daniel praying. And he tried to let him go. He tried to deliver him. He tried to make a way of escape, but he couldn't. So he had to carry out the law. So they took him over to this cavern. And it's like you see in those comic books. There was a big cave, and there was a hole on the top. And they took Daniel, and they tied him up, and they lowered him down into the midst of that den of lions. The Bible doesn't say the lion's den, because a lion's den could be empty. It says the den of lions. Lions, hungry lions. They weren't circus animals. They weren't pets. They were hungry animals. And they were down there. And when Daniel was lowered, I'm sure he was praying all the way down. But what did Darius say? He said, listen, your God is able to deliver you. You are the servant of the living God. He believed Daniel was not worshiping idols like the people around. He said, your God, the one that you serve continually, not sporadically, continually, he will deliver you out from the mouth of lions, just as the three young men had been delivered out of the fiery furnace by one that was likened unto the Son of God. In verse 22, we see Daniel protected. 6 and 22, it says, my God has sent the angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. In for as much as before him innocent ones found, and me, and also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. So Daniel didn't find a little window that he could climb out. He didn't climb up the wall and push that stone back. But when the king came the next morning and called down, Daniel, are you alive? Daniel was able to say, I am alive because God has shut the lion's mouth. And because I am innocent, just as you were, king. It was not in the king's heart to have Daniel sent into that den. And then we see in Daniel chapter 6 and 28, we see Daniel prospered. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus, and Cyrus the Persian. Did you ever wonder why God takes and honors a man, why God takes and puts a man in a certain place. Sometimes when we read our Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you have the book of Daniel, it's here. You go back a number of books and you find the book of Nehemiah, the book of Ezra, way back there. And you say, what would Ezra have to do with the book of Daniel? It's way back there and it's here. There is a Bible called the Chronological Bible. If you're a young believer or an older believer, it's a good Bible to read. You go through the Bible in a whole year in the order in which it is chronologically, as it happens. So it sort of helps you to put things in perspective. Well, if you were to look in Ezra chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus saith the king of Persia, the God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So why was Cyrus moved to build the temple? When we think of Cyrus, we think of him as a pagan king. We think of him as the one that is the king, and he has the children of Israel kept in captivity there, and he's holding on to them, and he doesn't want to let them go, like these are the enemy. But Daniel spent time with Darius. Daniel spent time with King Cyrus, and they saw that Daniel believed in the living God. He had a relationship with a God that answered prayer, with a God that could deliver out of a fiery furnace, with a God that could deliver out of a den of lions. That's a good God to know. And Cyrus wanted to know that God. And as we can see in the book of Ezra, when Ezra went to talk to King Cyrus says, listen, go. I'm going to even help you. I'm going to even supply what you need. That was the attitude that he went. So it's important that you and I, as we live as Christians before God, as we have that vibrant relationship with God, that you will influence people much older than you. You have the possibility to influence people. They can see that God is alive in your life. So take courage, young people. And then Daniel chapter 9. I start off speaking about Daniel. He purposed in his heart. And then I talked about Daniel preaching. He spoke before King Belshazzar. And I talked about Daniel praying. And I talked about Daniel being protected and prospered. Now we're going to read about Daniel prophesying. He has a message for the future. God revealed unto him things for the future that even now people are sort of grappling with and trying to get a hold of and putting things into perspective. Well, how did he prophesy? What caused him to prophesy in the beginning? Well, let's look at verses 1 and 2, Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So what is he saying? He said, I understood by reading. Daniel was a prophet. God spoke to him to his heart. You and I couldn't hear the message that God was given to Daniel because the section in the last of this chapter, it's not found in other portions of the Bible. So it was a direct message that God gave to Daniel. But what's he saying here? He said, one morning I get up and I had my Bible in front of me and I opened to the Bible to the book of Jeremiah and I started reading these words. Listen to the words that Daniel was reading. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 is a verse that everybody likes to use out of context. I will give you wonderful things, thoughts of peace, and everything's going to turn out wonderful for you. But listen to verse 11 in the context. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, then shall you go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from the places where I've driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again unto this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So as Daniel read this portion, he realized that God was speaking to him in his very circumstances. And that's where God speaks to us. The place we are this morning, God is speaking to you. Jody was going through a little bit of a troubling time. She wanted to go to India, and the doors were being closed on her. So do you think she gave up praying? No, she kept on asking God, God, that door is closed. Will you open another door for me? So next week she's going to be going away. We should be praying for that young lady. Keep her in your prayers. These are dangerous places, especially being a white girl in a country like that. It's dangerous. These are real things. Here was a young man. He opened his Bible. Do you open your Bible in the morning? Jeremiah. He opens his Bible, and he reads something after 70 years, and he's counting in his life, okay, I was 17 when I come here, 70 years, I'm 87 now. Hey, the time is up. We're leaving. Must have been exciting for him as he opens the Bible and he finds this. It's time to leave. And he's just on that edge of expectancy. Do you believe that the Lord is coming? That could be before this meeting is over, the Lord could come back and take every Christian home to heaven. And you're still thinking, you're not saved, and you're still thinking, give me just a little longer, for the world looks yet so bright. When I feel that I'm dying, I'll be saved, but not tonight. We seem to put off the things that are most important. We put them off till the last. When I lived in Vancouver, I used to be involved in the insurance business. There was a friend of mine, friend of the family. He was 85 years of age. He got cancer. At 85, I was visiting him in the hospital. He says, Wayne, he says, can you get me an insurance policy? Can you get me some life insurance? He was serious. He wanted me to get him some life insurance. It's too late. You waited too long. Your time's up. You're dying. No insurance company is going to insure you. You're on the way out. None of us know. None of us know. That 14-year-old boy didn't know last week. Probably didn't know what hit him. Gone. Nice-looking young kid, innocent-looking. His whole life in front of him. Gone. But it doesn't just say, listen, in 70 years, the Jewish people are going back to Jerusalem. He says, you know the good thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts for peace, not for evil, to give you an expected end, that you should go back. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go, and you shall pray unto me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you look for me with all your heart. Is that your relationship that you have with God? Are you looking to God? When you pray, do you pray, Lord, I really need you in my life? Listen, I'm having problems with a school subject. I'm having problems with some of the kids at school are picking on me. I'm having other problems with a job, with people that I work with. Do you cry to God like, God, if you're real, come in and answer. I'm in real strait here. I don't know what to do. If you shall search me with all your heart, Or do you pray, I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and that kind of, is that your prayer? Are you praying? Do you have a vital relationship with God? There's some people here that are not saved this morning. God will save you. If you cry to God this morning, He will answer your prayer. He will accept you. We sing that song, "Just as I am," with that one plea. "But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come." Yes, the Savior is waiting with arms open wide. And then the next couple of verses, we see Daniel's confession. Verse 3, "I set my face unto the Lord God to seek with prayer and supplication, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and I made my confession, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him." He was worshiping, he was exalting God, he was putting God in His rightful place. That God has the ability to forgive sins. That He keeps His covenant with those that He enters into a covenant. He keeps His promise, is the better way to say it for us in 2016. He won't back down. He will give us what He said. He said, "Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more." You can take that one to the bank. You can trust it that Jesus died for your sins, that you can have your sins forgiven. You can know it for sure. And then the last part of the chapter, we have those verses that are read at prophecy conference. 70 weeks are determined upon my people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make the end of sins, and to make reconciliation for the iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision, the prophecy. Verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to return and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again in the well, even the troublous times. As Artaxerxes hands over the letters clearing Nehemiah's way to rebuild the holy city, the prophecy clock starts ticking." That's the way Charles Swindoll wrote it. There was going to be a period of 490 years. But if you notice, there was 483 years till the Messiah would be cut off, till the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on Calvary's Hill. And then there's another period of 7 years that will be interrupted by what we call the church age. When you and I are living here, it's a day of grace. It's a time when God is waiting for His people to come to Him, to return to Him. I was just reading this week that the Jews are leaving France in scores and hundreds. They're returning to their homeland. They cannot live any longer in this persecuted state. They're going back home. And us believers here, we're looking forward to the time when we're going back home. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And His footfall is on the threshold of the door. He's saying, "Behold, I come quickly." Could you answer, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus"? Or are you still, "Give me just a little bit longer. Yeah, I'm engaged. I'd like to be married first." I had a roommate like that, and I said, "Look, I'm praying for the rapture, you know, that the Lord would come back, you know, before next month." He says, no, I'm getting married in 2 months' time. Please wait till I get married first." It's funny how the flesh and worldly things, they're captivating us. We have a better place out of this world. No more sickness, no more pain. Like Rachel was praying for her mother to be restored. That's normal. We want our family. We want our mother to see our children. That's part of our life, to be together as families. But you know, the Lord has given us encouragement in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because it talks about those that are dead in Christ shall be raised. And then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the air. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have contemplated young Daniel this morning, a young man under 20 years of age that purposed in his heart not to defile himself, not to get involved in sins that would be displeasing to you, Lord. He wanted to live his life righteously before God. And he had a testimony when people spoke of Daniel. They admired him. Even unbelievers, even Belshazzar's wife, makes us think about Pilate's wife, have nothing to do with this just man. Father, we're thankful that Daniel finished his course living for you. We ask your blessing upon each of us here this morning that we might finish the fight, we might finish the course without having anything to be ashamed of, Lord. We ask it now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.